What are you doing? Donald, are there's good news.
It's time again for Donald
Trump.
Theater.
No one knows what is up or down, black or white,
legal
or
impeachable.
Everything is make believe in Donald
Trump.
Theater.
So let's
pull
the
curtain
back.
We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. We can change the focus to a soft blur.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into...
The things that this show has called him, this approach is, I guess it's kind of like we're living in the Twilight Zone.
Previously on
Donald
Trump
Theater.
You never trust the FBI.
Never trust the FBI.
That's the first rule.
If the FBI finds my Russian ties, they'll start asking about Ivanka's shell companies.
That is an impeachable offense.
It spends its days gathering evidence. This Mueller man.
I hate that stupid Mueller and his dumb investigation.
If the House votes in favor of those articles, you will be tried in the Senate for high crimes and misdemeanors.
I am not compromised.
You know how this is going to end, boy.
According to a CNN poll, President Trump's approval rating has reached a new low of 36%. He's so unpopular, pretty soon it's just going to be Fox and Friends.
I'm a desperate man. Send lawyers, guns, and money.
Russia has hit the fan.
Guns and money. Huh. Send lawyers, guns and money. Send lawyers, guns and money.
special counsel unveiled the first charges in his investigation into Russian interference in the American election.
The first charges in the ongoing scandal that we've been calling Stupid Watergate. And let's start with Paul Manafort, former Trump campaign chairman, and his business partner, Rick Gates, because the rap sheet against them is impressive.
The 31-page indictment charges that over at least 10 years, the two men set up a scheme to hide tens of millions of dollars in income they received from a pro-Russian Ukrainian political party. Prosecutors allege the scheme involved hiding that foreign work, funneling more than $75 million through unreported foreign bank accounts, laundering tens of millions of dollars, and lying to the IRS and to the Justice Department.
The president revealed his thoughts in two tweets, quote, sorry, but this is years ago before Paul Manafort was part of the Trump campaign. But why aren't crooked Hillary and the Dems the focus? Adding also, there is no collusion, writing that last but in all capital letters.
Think about Trump's defense here, which he definitely hasn't. It's actually pretty strange because he's essentially saying Manafort had already done all this stuff at the time that I, Donald Trump, decided to hire him as my campaign manager.
We're going to get the best people in the world.
We're going to use our smartest and our best.
We want experts, our finest people. We don't want people that are B-level, C-level, D-level. We have to get our absolute best.
Which means one of two things. Either Trump did a background check, discovered his suspicious activity and didn't care, or he didn't so much as Google Manafort before hiring him, because everybody knows that Manafort is dodgy. He has represented the interests of strongmen and dictators around the world, including Ferdinand Marcos, Mobutu, Viktor Yanukovych, and Russian oligarch Oleg Deripaska, the last two of whom had close ties to Putin. In fact, it's since come to light that Manafort may have been in debt to pro-Russian interests by as much as $17 million. And the more we learn about him, the shadier he gets.
Prosecutors have noted that Manafort has three U.S. passports with different numbers and recently traveled abroad while using a phone and email registered under an alias.
Trump has argued that Manafort was just with the campaign for a very short period of time, but he held top positions within it for 5 months, during which time he not only organized the convention, he also spoke on the campaign's behalf with decidedly mixed results.
So to be clear, Mr. Trump has no financial relationships with any Russian oligarchs.
That's what he said. That's what I said. That's obviously what our position is.
Also, while Manafort may have been gone before the election, Gates, his partner, who prosecutors say had 55 bank accounts, he helped run the inaugural committee and has been a frequent visitor to the White House. So again, the question here is, did Trump know all of this and not care? Or did he know none of it because he's incompetent?
People are trying to blame me for tons of stuff, but none of it is my fault.
In other words, is Trump smart enough to be evil? And before you answer that, consider the genuinely surprising news from Monday, the guilty plea from George Papadopoulos, the former Trump campaign staffer and real cool dude, who has now admitted to lying to the FBI. He could be a real problem here, because we now know not only did Papadopoulos have contact with the Russians during the campaign, who apparently told him through an intermediary that they had dirt on Hillary Clinton, but he mentioned his Russian contacts to the campaign, who responded like this.
A Trump campaign supervisor told Papadopoulos, quote, I would encourage you to pursue contact with Russians, and that he had done great work.
One of Papadopoulos' former professors described him as zealous and a bit simple, which, incidentally, is also how you would describe a golden retriever in ISIS. And some of his Russian sources turned out to be pretty unimpressive.
Papadopoulos was in London, meeting with his Russian connections, including a woman he thought was Vladimir Putin's niece, but turns out was not.
Trump is now also desperately trying to distance himself from Papadopoulos, calling him a low-level volunteer, which is a pretty weak defense, because not only did Trump once call him an excellent guy, they were photographed together in a national security meeting during the campaign. Trump posted it to his Instagram last March. Of course he did.
If you want, I could give you some of the names. George Papadopoulos, he's an oil and energy consultant, excellent guy.
He was the coffee boy.
And when Trump was asked on Friday about what had happened in that meeting, this was his response.
I don't remember much about that meeting. It was a very unimportant meeting, took place a long time. Don't remember much about it.
Oh, you don't remember. That is convenient, although it's slightly undercut by one of Trump's favorite boasts.
People know me for my memory.
It's called, like, up here, and it's called memory, and it's called other things.
I'm fortunate that I have a good memory.
I have a good memory.
I have, like, a good memory.
I have a very good memory.
I have a good memory, like a great memory.
I have a great memory.
One of the great memories of all time.
Remember? Me at first. Couldn't remember. Remember? Me and you talking. Remember?
When he was asked during a deposition in 2015 about claiming that he had one of the world's great memories, he said, and I quote, "I don't remember saying that. As good as my memory is, I don't remember that. But I have a good memory." So right now, there are three people from the Trump campaign facing serious charges about their entanglements overseas. And in all three cases, Trump's pushback has basically been, "I don't know anything about the people I should have known those things about." And that is his signature move. He is playing the Trump card. And what I mean by that is, he's using his own incompetence as a defense.
"We are morons, tried and true, and we'll do our yell for you."
Think about what the counter-argument may have to be. This is a meticulous man who made strategic decisions fully aware of the consequences of his actions. That could be a tough case to make, but we cannot accept the Trump card as his defense here. Because if we do, just think about what we would actually be saying there. We'd be saying, "Look, this guy is too dumb to really understand what he's doing, so I guess we have no choice but to let him keep being president."
This is a mental health problem at the highest level.
"How do you do? I see you've met my special counsel man." "Well, he just spilled some tea. I know, you're shocked. He's even a Republican. How do you like them bananas? Are you all right? You look kind of sick. That ain't your natural color." "Well, maybe it is." "Well, just hold tight, because this ain't a trick. It's a treat.
For I'm your boy, Robert Mueller.
It's just a sweet indictment.
Sweet indictment.
Indisputable. Ties to Russia. So we've got Manafort and Gates, they're in dire straits. And Papadopoulos pleaded guilty. You gave him quite a dirty job. Now he's talking to Bob. And the dirt on you's about to get
today." Former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort was indicted. George Papadopoulos, who pled guilty to lying to the FBI, has been cooperating with the Mueller investigation.
"Well, they got caught in a lie. Now the FBI called them out and basically just destroyed them. And it all comes back to you. What's that? You don't want it to? You should have thought of that before you employed them. Aw, it's just a sweet indictment.
Sweet.
With undeniable ties to Russia. So, sweetie, looks like you're effed.
F.
Stop blaming the left. And Jared, I suggest you just plead the fifth. You should maybe clean out your desk. Because you're probably next. Oh, and do me a favor. Take that ratchet girl with you. Actually, I was talking about Mike Pence. It's just a sweet indictment.
Sweet indictment.
With irrefutable ties to Russia. Hey, hey, it's just a sweet indictment.
Sweet indictment.
With indisputable ties to Russia.
Trump
Trump is on a 12-day trip to Asia.
When asked about the missiles that North Korea has been firing over Japan, Trump said he didn't get why a country of samurai warriors did not shoot down the missiles. Doesn't have to be a samurai, could be a ninja, could be a Power Ranger or Godzilla.
Do you think there's work you can personally do on this trip that will lessen the threat?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to see what happens.
And Korean golfers are some of the best on earth. In fact, and you know what I'm going to say, the Women's U.S. Open was held this year at Trump National Golf Club in Bedminster, New Jersey. And it just happened to be won by a great Korean golfer, Sung-hyun Park, and 8 of the top 10 players were from Korea. And the top 4 golfers, 1, 2, 3, 4, the top 4 were from Korea. Congratulations. Congratulations.
Trump wasn't just there for the golf and burgers. He was also there to tell Japan who's boss.
You've built one of the world's most powerful economies. I don't know if it's as good as ours. I think not. Okay? And we're going to try and keep it that way. But you'll be second.
You know, someone should tell Donald Trump to always stop speaking after his first sentence. Because every time, that's where it goes wrong. I'm sorry about the death of your husband, but he knew what he signed up for. The Charlottesville Nazis were bad, but there were some very fine people.
But even when Trump is abroad, he can't seem to escape the escalating Russia investigation.
We have new evidence this evening that our Secretary of Commerce, Wilbur Ross, is in business with a company that has close ties to Vladimir Putin.
Former foreign policy advisor Donald Trump's presidential campaign, Carter Page, joins me now. How are you, Carter?
Great to see you. I'm doing great.
Congratulations, Chris, for not being indicted.
A member of President Trump's foreign policy advisory committee said he told several Trump campaign officials, including members of the president's inner circle, that he was heading to Moscow in July of 2016. Carter Page testified before the House Intelligence Committee last week, and in an exchange with Republican Congressman Trey Gowdy, Page said that he emailed former Trump campaign manager Corey Lewandowski, current White House Communications Director Hope Hicks, and campaign foreign policy advisor J.D. Gordon that he was on his way there. Page also said that he told Attorney General Jeff Sessions.
CNN's reporting that you told then Trump campaign advisor and Senator Jeff Sessions that you were going to Russia in July 2016. Although it wasn't related to your campaign work. Who else in the Trump campaign knew about this trip to Russia other than Jeff Sessions?
You know, that mention, which was the big headline yesterday, was a brief comment as we were walking towards the elevator after having a dinner together. And so it was such a nothing event. And, you know, as you correctly noted, I mentioned that, you know, I'm heading over there. And totally unrelated to the campaign. So it was, I actually had, it was a meeting that, or a dinner that was set up sort of at the last minute. And I ended up changing around my schedule because I was just getting ready to go in a couple of days. So I said, it was the only time I've ever met him. We had one dinner together. And I said,
Sessions.
It was great to meet you. I'm glad I was able to meet this in before I head to Moscow. I mean, it's totally in passing. It was.
And is he the only one on the campaign that knew about the trip?
I mentioned it to a few people.
Who else?
You know, it'll come out. Things keep leaking in this from the investigation.
Well, you
know,
seem to be one of the more transparent people in this entire affair. Yeah. Who else did you talk to?
Jake, of anyone in the campaign, I had the most negative impact on the campaign, just given the false dodgy dossier attacks that came starting in September 2016. 45 days before the election, give or take.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I've already had so much of a negative impact given these false allegations. You know, I'd like to minimize bringing more people into it.
Again, here's another another Russian contact that Jeff Sessions allegedly knew about.
And campaign co-chair Sam Clovis before he left.
By the way, yeah, you know, Gordon told him don't do it. And he went around to figure out a way to get to Russia.
Page said that Corey Lewandowski told him he could go, but the trip was not affiliated with the campaign. Lewandowski told USA Today in March that he did not say Page should travel to Russia on his own, though he also said he couldn't remember. But, quote, I'm very clear about this. I granted nobody permission to do that.
So now here's Corey Lewandowski, former campaign manager for Donald Trump. How do you reconcile those two things?
I've never met Carter Page. To the best of my knowledge, the President of the United States has never met Carter Page. Well, now my memory has been refreshed.
Remember. Remember.
Page had not provided the emails to the House Intelligence Committee when he testified on Thursday, but said that he would. The testimony also contradicted Page's earlier comment that he only exchanged greetings with Russia's Deputy Prime Minister Dvorkovich. In an email sent after the trip, Page wrote that Dvorkovich had, quote, expressed strong support for Mr. Trump and a desire to work together toward devising better solutions in response to a vast range of current international problems. Just shortly after returning, Page congratulated members of the Trump foreign policy team on July 14, 2016, for their, quote, excellent work on the Ukraine amendment, a reference to the Trump campaign's decision to intervene to water down a proposed amendment to the GOP's Ukraine platform. Page told the committee he was, quote, just expressing what I feel.
You give us dirt on Hillary, we'll remove the Ukraine amendment from the GOP platform.
It was bizarre testimony. He sounded as if he was making it up as he went along. One minute he was invoking the Fifth, another minute he wasn't. Documents kept emerging that he hadn't told the committee about. Oh, I'm happy to give you those emails. And when you add this up, you see now three separate instances in which Trump campaign associates, Papadopoulos,
right,
in his plea agreement, Page now in his descriptions of meeting with the professor, the famous July 9 meeting with Don Trump Jr., in which the Russian lawyer appears. In each of those three instances, the issue is what are the Russians going to do to help the Trump campaign? And the evidence now is coming from them. They show the Russians working directly to supply information to the Trump campaign that will be helpful.
And the Trump campaign actively seeking contacts with and help from Vladimir Putin and the Kremlin.
And again, you wonder when Jeff Sessions testifies before Congress three times that he was not aware of any Russian contacts. And he clearly was told about this meeting by Carter Page and others that we've learned about since. Did he think it wasn't going to come out? Did he think somehow people weren't going to get to the bottom of it, whether it was in the journalists investigating it or inside one of those committees looking into it? How could he sit up there and say, knowing what he knew,
right,
that he didn't know of any Russian contacts in the campaign, even if they were innocuous, why would you say you didn't know anything when you clearly knew that you'd been talked to?
Donald Trump and Mike Pence and Jeff Sessions saying that nobody on their campaign talked to Russians. As Mike Pence said, we just talked to Americans.
Right.
No, they talked to Russians. They talked to Russians a lot, and then they've spent the last 9 months lying about all of their contacts with Russians.
Well, sir, there's Sessions. We have Kushner, Flynn. There's Flynn Jr.
Mike, what are you doing?
Oh, I'm reading off a list of people who could get sucked into the Mueller investigation. Tillerson.
Make it stop.
Roger Stone,
make it stop.
Carter Page. We have Sam Clovis. Donald Jr., Eric, Ivanka, and you.
Last week, President Trump's nominee for chief scientist at the Department of Agriculture, Sam Clovis, withdrew his nomination after reports surfaced that he had alleged ties to the ongoing Russia investigations. Clovis was Trump's national co-chairman during the presidential campaign. He's also been serving as the White House liaison to the Department of Agriculture while awaiting his hearing to be chief scientist at the USDA. That hearing was scheduled for this Thursday, but then last week, this happened.
A former Trump advisor has withdrawn his name from consideration for a top position at the Agriculture Department.
Sam Clovis, who admits he's not even a scientist, took himself out of the running due to his reported relationship with George Papadopoulos. That's the former Trump campaign foreign policy advisor who pleaded guilty to making a false statement to the FBI about his interactions with Russian officials.
The government claims that Clovis actually encouraged Papadopoulos to go to Russia to meet with Russian officials.
So Clovis withdrew his name for consideration, and that's a good thing, because while Sam Clovis may be many things, a former Air Force fighter pilot, a conservative talk show host, he is not a scientist. Clovis himself confirmed that in a letter obtained by the Washington Post. Here are his answers to some questions he had submitted ahead of his now-canceled hearing. Please list all graduate-level courses you have taken in natural science. None, Clovis replied. Please list all membership and leadership roles you have held with any agricultural scientific, agricultural education, or agricultural economic organizations. None, Clovis replied. Please describe any awards, designations, or academic recognition you received specifically related to agricultural science. None, Clovis replied. Of course, Trump was probably impressed by that. He filled out his questionnaire in, like, a minute. I think I picked a real winner with this guy. Besides being unqualified, Clovis also has some dangerous theories and political beliefs that should have been a red flag even before the Russia revelations came to light. For example, his views on the science behind climate change.
I'm extremely skeptical. I have enough of a science background to know when I'm being boofed.
But Clovis is just one example of what seems to be a pattern in the type of people Trump nominates and hires. The only qualification necessary is loyalty to Trump himself. And nowhere is that perhaps more blatantly obvious than at the USDA. According to reports, the Trump team has brought into the agency a long-haul truck driver, a clerk at AT&T, a gas company meter reader, a country club cabana attendant, a Republican National Committee intern, and the owner of a scented candle company.
We're going to get the best people in the world. We're going to use our smartest and our best.
We want experts, our finest people. We don't want people that are B-level, C-level, D-level. We have to get our absolute best.
Thanks for the song.
From Golden, Earring, Warren, Zeven, Randy, Rainbow, Firehose, Lennon,
thanks to
Sarah, Sanders, Seth, Myers, Anthony, Atamanuk, Peter, Groves, Oliver, Paul, Manafit,
The Three
Stooges, Stephen, Colbert, Cheryl, Atkinson, Trevor, Noah,
Chris,
Hayes, Carter, Mika, Brzezinski, Jake, Tapper, Joe, Scarborough, Corey, Lewandowski.
Preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.